is a good time to exercise your faith. And any time is a good time to exercise your praise. The more you do that, the better you get at it. Amen? Praise the Lord. I do thank God for prayer, and I thank God for praise. In praying, He can touch me. In praising, I can touch Him. Hallelujah. All right. We are going to go right into the Word of God tonight. I want to say thank you to the platform help for walking in the Holy Ghost this evening. Choice of songs were right on target. Amen. We do look through a glass darkly. We do not understand all things about God. No one could, because He's God. And we're going to cover some of that this evening. Praise the Lord. And so while you're standing, if you want to focus with me, let's look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. When the evening was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with His word, and He healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities, and He bare our sicknesses. He took on the responsibility for our infirmities. He took on the responsibility for our sicknesses. Amen. And then James chapter 5, verse 13 through 15, the Bible says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Amen. And so the Bible said, didn't say let them, it said let him. That means the individual. Let the individual pray. Amen. So expect faith when you pray over your needs, just like you expect faith when everyone else prays over your needs. Amen. So we have faith and we believe. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Is any happy? That's what it's saying. Let him sing psalms. Praise the Lord. Because the one that is sick needs to hear the psalm. And the one singing the psalm needs to pray for the one that's sick. Because we're all human and things happen naturally. The pages will turn in the future. And so if we can sing for someone that's sick, they'll sing for us when we're sick. If we can pray for someone that's sick, they'll pray for us when we're sick. Right? Amen. And if there's anyone here tonight that feels like that you don't need your brother or your sister, you're immature and still in elementary school when it comes to serving God. It might be time to grow up a little bit. Amen. And understand that I need you, and you need us. We need one another. Everybody. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Praise God. Then the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Amen. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If you're educated enough, you understand the process according to the Word of God to call upon the elders, then of course you are a part of the church, or you wouldn't comprehend that. Amen. The prayer of faith is going to save the sick, the Word of God says. Praying over someone to be healed doesn't save them. as in Bible salvation. But our prayer of faith can rescue them in their dilemma. Amen. And so, and it said, if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Because if you know that you should call upon the elders to anoint you with oil, then you also understand the fact that when you come to the Lord for healing, that you need to come in a repentant state. Right? And so we can be healed and we can be forgiven of our sins at the very same time. Praise God. And that's the lost. And that's those that have failed God. That's those that have come short of His glory. That's also another Bible study. But tonight, I want to talk about reasons for sickness and how healing happens. There's reasons for sickness, and healings can happen. Amen. How many of you have ever been healed of God? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. And we need to comprehend and understand before we ever start with this Bible study this evening that God is no respecter of persons. Because one is healed and one is not, does not mean He loves somebody more than He loves someone else. Who is brilliant enough to know what is actually on God's mind about me or you? No one. And so what we do is we let God be God. Am I correct? And we worship Him. We love Him. We serve Him. Amen. And so we're going to talk about reasons for sickness and how healing happens. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we thank You for the honor, the opportunity, the privilege to talk about such a phenomenal subject that is laced all the way through the Word of God from the Old and the New Testament. Amen. And I pray, Lord, that You would anoint our tongue, anoint our lips of clay with the hot oil, hot coals from the altar. Lord, I ask You, Jesus, to touch us from the sacrifice and to move upon us, Lord, with anointing. Let us walk in the Holy Ghost and fulfill Your will in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. God richly bless you as you're seated just now. I just want to say at the onstart, before the fall of Adam and Eve, it seems like that they were immune or at least not susceptible to sickness or disease. After their fall, mankind lost his immunity to sickness and he lost his immunity to disease. And since that time, human suffering has known no limits. There has been some major sickness with new diseases coming about all the time. New strains of flu, influenza, every year. Man's original sin has become the root of all sickness. And before we go blaming God for not having a heart about babies dying, just understand this. It's not God's fault. He made a paradise and man disobeyed Him. And that's why we deal with sickness. Yet other factors are involved as well. God's Word, it opens up to us a lot of avenues of insight into the age-old problem that will be with us until we have a body that is fashioned just like the Lord's. As Philippians put it in chapter 3, His glorious body. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know what a glorious body is like, but I can't wait to get one. But let's say at the very onstart, Jesus Christ is a healer. Somebody say amen. Without question, we know He has, we know He can, and He will heal all manner of sickness and disease. Yet the fact remains, many are not healed. I remember in my cancer dilemma that a lady from our church, Sister Jewel, had cancer at the very same time. We were at the same hospital. Sometimes we had the very same appointment for treatment. And we'd sat in the waiting room together. Sister Jewel passed away and I lived. And so we understand that and we see that and how that some people are healed and how sometimes others are not. Human suffering goes on, and eventually we all die. God has the power to remove all sickness and eliminate death. Yet there are people that get sick and there are people that die. Why does he allow men, and especially his children, to suffer? While a lot of us many times have not just only wondered about the answer, but we have searched for answers regarding sickness or healing, let's not forget that our main objective is this. Don't forget this. Amen. I came into this well. I got sick while I was in this. And so the Lord understood my spirit. In other words, whether he healed me or not, I was going to live for God. Because the priority was not my healing. My priority was to be saved. I can go out of this body lame and sick and full of disease and still make it to heaven. I can be healed and go out of this world a sinner. So my priority is not just to have a healthy body and to be healed, but my priority is to be saved. And I think that we need to sometimes go back and refocus and look at that and check that out. Amen. So he is our healer, and we know he can heal. But the old question is why some and not others? Our salvation is predicated upon, our salvation is not predicated upon a healthy body. Our salvation is predicated upon a healthy soul, one that seeks, serves, and looks toward God. Amen. Amen. And so we want to look into the subject, and we want to go just a little deep here tonight. And so let me just simply say right here, if you happen to be in the throes of a tragic physical malady, perhaps you can find help and direction from the lesson tonight. I hope that happens if you're in that predicament. And when healing comes, then of course you're going to give God the glory. If healing doesn't come, never doubt him or his ability to heal. Learn to trust him. Lean on him in spite of pain and suffering. Above all, be sure your soul is right with God. That position assures you of a brand new body, free from sickness and death. Sooner or later, it's coming. Right? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to cover a couple of points and consider the causes of sickness and how to be healed. Number one, perhaps we could consider the fact it is to test our faith and our loyalty to God. Job serves us as a prime example of what can happen in the life of a person living for God. Amen. God held Job up to Satan as one that feared him. As a final result of Satan's accusations, God removed the hedge from around Job, took away his protection, and allowed Satan to take his possessions and finally even his health. So it was a test. Could it have been a test? Was it a test of his loyalty? I believe that God knew Job so well that he could show Satan that I could turn you loose on him and he still will not deny me. Now, Job, through all of this, had a problem. Job was not sick. This particular instance, he was not sick because he sinned. But he came very close to sinning because he was sick. He wanted to curse the day that he was born. He wanted to, he just got an attitude. How many of you understand that? You've read Job enough to understand he got an attitude. And then finally God came to him, got his friends out of the way. And if you got friends like Job had, you don't need any friends at all. And the Lord came to him and he set all of that straight. And basically he let Job know it wasn't even about you. This was between me and the devil. And I used you to show to prove a point. And so if God decides to test us, let him test us. Because I'm not in this to be healed. If he does, fine. If he doesn't, that's fine too. Either way, we win. But anytime I have an opportunity and the privilege to prove to the devil that I love God just because I love him, then I'm ready to do that. I am ready to do that. And then, could sin come because of disobedience? Bad health. Could bad health come because of sin and because of disobedience? Well, man and his original sin, that caused all of us to be subject to sickness. On the other hand, our individual sin and disobedience can subject us to a personal encounter with sickness, disease, and sometimes even death. Amen. If you drink alcohol until your liver quits, guess what you're going to do? If you suck on cigarettes and all of that, if you're in that dilemma, I love you and I'm going to pray for you. If God can deliver me, he can deliver you. And I'm believing God for today. Hey, but listen, we've got to comprehend the results from that. Amen. And I know for a fact, I was telling somebody the other day, I said, my dad one time, he heard that the doctor said there's too much cholesterol in a hot dog. And so when they would have birthday parties, he would not eat a hot dog. But my dad died from cigarette smoking. He wouldn't eat a hot dog, but he would smoke 2 or 3 packs of cigarettes a day. I told him that. I said, Dad, I said, it's going to kill you. He said, I know. And so, but, you know, I'm just using this as an example and as a point. Amen. So, well, let's go to the Bible so I don't get in trouble with anybody. Look at Miriam. She was smitten with leprosy because of her conduct. Am I right? Numbers chapter 12. Look at the Israelites in general. They were bitten of serpents because of their wrongdoing in Numbers chapter 21. Look at the Corinthians. Many were weak and sickly because of their wrongful doings. And their handling of the communion service. Our world, especially those who don't know God, they suffer untold personal suffering because of their individual sin and rebellion. Consider the results of, again, the drinking thing, the perversion, the diseases, the transmitted diseases, the AIDS virus, all of that. Amen. And it makes me nervous to even mention some of this stuff because, at any given time we could get 1 million people marching up and down our street calling us haters. I'm not a hater. I would like to prevent someone from dying from AIDS again. And there is a preventative. Amen. Amen. And so, but these things can cause sickness. Rebellion, sin, all of that can bring sickness and it can bring even death. Amen. How about to keep us humble? What if sickness came upon us to keep us humble? Amen. It sounds cruel on God's part sometimes, I guess, but this may be the only way to keep pride from destroying some folks. I'm just telling you. I don't care how good you think you look. I don't care how good you think you got it going. Amen. Be careful with pride. Because, ladies and gentlemen, pride will take you for a ride you don't want to go on. Amen. Praise God. And so it may be the only way that God can keep you humble or humble you. Some people's attention can't be arrested outside of physical pain and suffering. Far better is it for God to use physical suffering to keep us humble than for us to be absolutely lost in oblivion. Can I tell you personally where my confusion comes in? My confusion comes when people refuse to call on God when they're sick. Our hearts have been broken. Mine, yours, with loved ones, friends, and family. People with stage four stuff. People on life support. People carrying oxygen because of congestive heart failure and on and on. And they come and they visit. They're already here. They're just a few feet away from victory, where God can touch them. You give an altar appeal. You've made it clear. You've put so much love out, there's red hearts just popping everywhere. And you give altar call, and people come to the altar that aren't even sick. People come to the altar because they have a relationship with God. And yet people that are so sick, they don't know if they're going to make it another day, still sit out there and stare at you. That, to me, is confusion. I don't get it. And if you ever get it, explain it to me. Praise God. But David, listen to what David's testimony was. He said it in Psalms 119 and Psalms 118. He said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept your word." I'm not preaching tonight, and I'm not pulling on heartstrings. I'm just trying to give you some information here this evening. But we could learn from David's mistakes and know that sometimes people have to be afflicted and humbled before they get that true, real, and ultimately right relationship with God. Look at Paul. He was given a thorn in the flesh to keep him from being exalted. What this was, we're not very sure, but he refers to it as an infirmity. He prayed for the Lord to heal him, did he not? God gave him an answer. What was it? My grace. The fact that I have forgiven you, the fact that I have saved you, the fact that you are born again is sufficient. So as far as we know, Paul died with that infirmity, whatever it may have been. Amen. So what if we are sick and our health goes south to reveal the power of God? To simply reveal the power of God. No one wants to get sick, but before the glory and power of God can be manifest in healing, guess what? Somebody's got to get sick. Could it be that we encounter sickness and disease in order for God to receive glory by healing us? Apparently so, according to some scripture references that I want to give you here tonight. How about the man born blind? Jesus made it clear that this man's blindness was not a result of his or his parents' sin. Rather, it happened that the works of God could be made manifest. That's in John chapter 9, verse 3. Amen. How about Lazarus? Apparently, Lazarus' sickness and even death happened to bring glory to God and manifest his resurrecting power. In the book of John, the Gospels. Amen. Whenever we're healed of sickness and disease, God deserves all of the glory. Somebody say amen. God deserves all the praise. God is the one that's worthy. He's the one that done it. We must recognize God as our healer, not the minister or the ones that pray for us. Amen. Whenever we talk about what God done as a result of our prayer, let God's name be said first. Amen. Praise God. How about if it's because of the devil and possession and sin? Not that only the unsaved are referred to in this particular topic. God's people, even the weakest saint of God, and I want you to hear this tonight. Amen. There is not one child of God, I don't care who's the strongest link and I don't care who's the weakest link, there is not one child of God that is devil possessed. Do not let the devil tell you that, and don't let anybody else tell you that. Amen. There are some folks that are weak, and there are some folks with some hang-ups. We're going to pray for their weakness to become strong and strength, and we're going to pray for their hang-ups to be hung up the last time. Hallelujah. Amen. But understand this. There ain't a devil in hell that can get to them and possess them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let it be known. Amen. Praise God. Just because they may act like the devil every now and then doesn't mean they have the devil. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sinners and backsliders can be devil possessed, but not saints of God. Amen. Because again, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is within us than he that's in the world. If you are a child of God, stop listening to the devil or someone else that tells you that you're devil-possessed. Amen. Amen. You're not sick because you're demon-possessed. Praise God. I rebuke that in itself. That's easier to rebuke than demons. Not also that saints or sinners who are not devil-possessed can and often have some of the same problems discussed. Amen. Devil possession must be discerned, not decided. Amen. You don't just go around deciding someone's got a devil. Amen. I've preached for preachers before, and I'm sorry for their attitude. Your pastor would never say that. But I've heard pastors point at people and say, "That, see that person?" I said, "Yeah." They'd say, "He's got a devil." And I heard that person speaking in tongues in the prayer. That is not true. That is not true. He may be trying out for a role as the devil, but he's not demon possessed. Amen. He may have, again, problems, hang-ups, trouble, trial, tribulation, all of that. But the man of God was called to root that out and to dig that out until the Lord tells him to stop. I've got Bible for that. Amen. We don't give up. And we don't give out because someone is not acting or behaving the way we think they should. Amen. We continue to pray and we continue to reach out for them and to them and for them and believe the Lord. Amen. But we don't decide someone. That's something that must be discerned. Amen. And discern from experience. Amen. Praise God. Old age, birth defects, accidents, and other things can create or cause physical handicaps and impairments. Common sense, good judgment, and fairness must accompany our encounters with physical problems, along with compassion, love, and prayer for the afflicted. Right? Amen. Praise God. There's a lot of things that we need to consider. Now, let's just observe some things concerning sickness and healing here tonight. Consideration. Somebody say consideration. Consideration should be given to several facts and scriptural concepts before we become rash or charge God foolishly in our desire for victory and for healing. I don't care how loud you get. I don't care how mean you get. And I don't care how forceful you get. I don't care how sweet you get. I don't care how lamented you get. Amen. It that doesn't I'm not going to say it doesn't mean anything to God. I'm just simply telling you these are concepts we use when we go to God in prayer. And those are emotions that we have when we're talking to God in prayer. But my running and storming, screaming and shouting, my laying in the carpet, weeping and crying, all of those things are awesome things. Amen. But one is not greater than the other. Your attitude toward prayer, your position in prayer may be different than mine, but your prayer is no greater than mine, and mine is no greater than yours. I have had prayers answered that I just only had the time to speak to God briefly. Someone in passing, please pray for my dad. He's in stage 4 cancer, and our general conference in the hallway or something, and they're just passing. They're not even going to, they can't even stop and talk. And before I can say, I will certainly do that, they're 10 more steps away from me. And then all of a sudden, so I won't forget and not pray, I'll just simply say, Lord, please heal this individual they were talking about in Jesus' name. And you get a report 6 months later that they're completely fine. I could have went into prayer room and lamented and prayed for an hour or 2 hours, and that would have been a wonderful thing. Probably would have done me more good than anyone else, because those are good times with God. I want you to comprehend what I'm saying here. Amen. Prayer is prayer, regardless of how you say it. Amen. Some people were raised differently. Some people were influenced differently. Amen. And so we need to understand and make room for people that just pray. And let them pray. I'll never forget the couple that got married, went on their honeymoon, came home. Life began being lived. And he came home from work, cleaned up, ate supper, all that, time for bed, prayer time. He just slumped down on the bed and said, oh, Lord. He said, Holy Ghost, I'm tired. He said, Jesus, thank you for today. And God bless tomorrow and bless my family. And his wife said, are you serious? He said, what? She said, that's the way you pray? He said, yeah. And her prayer was hands together, you know, I don't know, background probably. But where in the Bible does it say your hands have to be together? And where does it say... Lord, thou alone art our God. Lord, thus and thus and thee and all of that. Hey, that's the way you pray. Pray that way. If the man's having prayer is just conversation with God. And so let's get at it the way we do it. But I'm challenging everyone here to pray. To pray. Because prayer will, somebody shout, make a difference. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you know, consideration should be given to all of that. God healed me personally of an incurable disease. You know that. Amen. I'm thankful that many years ago I received the Holy Ghost and was able to call on God for that healing. I'm thankful that many of you received the Holy Ghost years ago and you called on the Lord to heal my body. My wife especially. I can think about how she prayed, sought God, fasted, and go to tears real easy. Amen. And she was the greatest support group I had. Amen. Some family members wanted to call. She wouldn't even let them talk to me because they were so negative. And so she was tough. But it was tough faith that she had. And God saw me through. And a very, very powerful and a very positive thing. Amen. And so, you know, the Holy Ghost did that. Spirit of God did that. I remember Charlie Mahaney. Some of you don't know Charlie Mahaney, but he was one of those motorcycle gang kind of guys in the 60s. And he said he bought a fur coat from a yard sale and cut the sleeves off, got him some cowboy boots and spray painted them gold. And he was not the prettiest thing you'd ever seen anyway. And somehow we became like best friends. Can you picture that? I'd go to general conference. He'd be sitting in the hall. I said, Charlie, you need to be in there listening to the sermon. And he said, oh, man, they're preaching my stuff anyhow. He always had an answer like that. And he told me one time, I stepped out to go to the restroom or something. He stopped me and he said, "Hey, Marshburn, let's go rent a Cadillac and drive around town." I said, "Charlie, I can't rent a Cadillac and drive around town. This is General Conference." He said, "Oh, man, party pooper." Old Charlie passed away, but not before he rocked the prison ministry, Brother Ronnie. He rocked the prison ministry, man. People were baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost all over the world because of Charlie Mahaney's ministry and his preaching and all of that. So somebody told, somebody told me not long ago they really missed Charlie. I said, "That's okay. He'll be back shortly because they're probably just about tired of him now." Charlie went on to his reward. Amen. All things must be considered in the context of God's word. Amen. Because a person is healed doesn't mean he's saved. Sinners can be healed and continue in their sinful ways because they were healed by faith. The faith of an individual that prayed for this. Salvation and deliverance from sin does not guarantee physical healing and health. A lot of people come to God with disease or sickness, are born again, then have the sickness until they die. Amen. Such as Paul. Praise God. Let's take a note. And I just want to give you this for again. I'm giving illustration on Tuesday night. I'm giving information on Tuesday night. Amen. And so only the elders of the church should anoint with oil. The Bible said, "Call upon the elders." Amen. Amen. And so you don't have to carry oil with you. You know what the oil is for us in the New Testament? It's the Holy Ghost. That's the anointed oil. That's the Spirit flows from. Amen. You can pray for people when there's no oil available. Amen. Hallelujah. And they shall recover. But when we're in a church setting, the Bible says, call upon the elders of the church and they will anoint you with oil. Amen. Healing is not in competition with the medical profession. Now, I want to make some things very clear here tonight. Praise the Lord. There are some things, there are medications, there are treatments, there are things that God has given the medical field wisdom and knowledge about that can help an individual to obtain healing. Amen. And so we need to understand medical experts have helped a lot of people, and I have no condemnation for doctors. However, I will say this. That the medical field, physicians and doctors, are not an extension of the Lord's healing ministry. Only God can give you a miracle. Two different things are present here: medical science and God's healing power. They are separate entities. Therefore, we shouldn't confuse them. If a doctor can help, praise the Lord for his help. But I know God can heal and God can deliver. Amen. You don't have to belittle the medical profession for God to heal somebody. Amen. The Lord is strong enough that you don't have to down the medical field to lift him up. Amen. Praise God. And so healing is experienced by some while others are not healed or perhaps partially healed. With all God's word, with all that God's word shows us, we still see through a glass darkly, as they sang about tonight. 1 Corinthians 13 and 12. They opened the service tonight with it. Amen. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. I don't know everything. But then shall I know even as also I am known. I will know things like he knew me. He knows me in ways I don't even know myself. And he knows, certainly knows many things that I don't know. But then shall I know. Amen. If a person suffers, and they suffer more than someone else that doesn't deserve healing in our eyes. 10 seconds in the presence of God, and you're going to understand why you went through everything you went through to get where you got. But ladies and gentlemen, that takes faith, because we're looking through the glass darkly. Amen. So, trusting God for your healing, it's not essential to salvation. Some teach that if a saint goes to any kind of doctor, he's going to be lost, and basically he's going to be forgotten. And listen, let's be fair to the scripture and our fellow man regarding trusting God for healing. A person must be born again of water and spirit, then live a holy and a godly life. He is to be saved, right? Needless to say, I find no scripture, neither does the spirit of the word imply that a person will be lost for going to a doctor. Amen. Now, I will say this, that with drugs running rampant as they are today in this generation, prescription pharmaceuticals are the worst drugs on the market, because they're not neglected. I wish they were. But people are subject to them, and they become addicted to them and use them and have every reason in the world to get hung up on them. Amen. Let's look at God's promise regarding healing. God's word emphatically promises and exemplifies healing of the human body. Although the death of Jesus Christ was necessary to completely effect our healing, it is a fact that by his stripes we are healed. We say that till the day we die, because we believe that till the day we die. His suffering and beating in Pilate's judgment hall was the event that assured healing for our bodies. For this, we should be grateful. Mankind needs physical, spiritual, and emotional healing in their lives. Jesus Christ has provided all of this and more, and promises them, and all of that from his word. There's a constant abiding promise of healing. When we lay hands on the sick, in Jesus' name, they'll be healed. When we call for the elders of the church and they anoint with oil in the name of the Lord, they'll be healed. Healing has been provided by the Lord's stripes and is contingent upon our faith and obedience to these two practices. In addition to this, there are gifts of healing and the working of miracles that can bring healing and deliverance when one or both of these spiritual gifts is in operation. Amen. 1 Corinthians. Praise the Lord. When healing doesn't come, consider the causes of sickness. Then examine your confidence level, because doubt can stop the healing power of God. Amen. Not asking, or asking amiss, or a lack of prayer and fasting can hinder healing. After a thorough scripture checkup of all elements involved, we will either obtain healing or find an answer to the reason why we are not. Either way, we win. Amen. Let's stand together. I challenge you by the lesson taught tonight to have greater faith in God in order that we may see more healings in this church. We need greater faith in God. Stricter adherence to your responsibility to James 5:14. Be used of God when you practice Mark 16:18. Is any sick among you? Listen, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Praise God. That's for you. That's for me. That's for whosoever will. pray for them. You work beside them. You live with them. They're your friends. They're your family. They're people you like. And they are people you don't like. It don't matter. Amen. We pray for the sick. Never lose your scriptural balance. Always keep salvation and healing in the right perspective. Keep the faith in spite of what may happen to your physical body. Keep the faith. Trust God. Amen. Trust God. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands. Go to the Lord in prayer. Seek the face of God and believe Him. We will see more healing when we have greater faith. And we will understand and comprehend God the more we mature in the Word. So let's call on the name of the Lord for His help and His assistance right now. Master, in the name of Jesus, by the divine Spirit, by the mercy and the grace and the goodness of God, I call on Your name right now, Lord, to lead us, guide us, and direct us, to stir up the gift of God that You've given each one of us, to let the anointing break every yoke and tear down every stronghold. Lord, make us a force to be reckoned with. Give us confidence in You, O God. Lord, let the anointing flow from us. Holy Ghost, help us to be unhindered. Lord, help us, Lord, to be approved, a workman worthy. Lord Jesus, let us labor in the field with love and respect for everyone and a care for all people. Mighty God, let us lay hands on the sick and have them to recover. Let the name of the Lord be exalted and let the name of Jesus be magnified. For honorable and powerful, mighty and just is the name of Jesus. We're here tonight, Lord, to exemplify what the Word of God is trying to say to us this evening. Let us walk in the Spirit and fulfill the will. Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, give us faith to believe You for all things. Let us uphold You with worship and praise, adoration. Lord, if I live or if I die, I will live worshiping You and I will die praising You. For You alone are my God. You alone are my Savior. And You are alone are the greatest friend that I have ever had. You are my Father. Somebody lift your hands and praise Him with a loud voice. The Holy Ghost has moved into the house. And the Spirit of God would touch somebody right now, right in the center of your heart. I want someone to leave with a torch. I want someone to leave tonight with a fire. I want someone to leave tonight with an anointing. I want someone to leave tonight with dominance. I want someone to walk away tonight with faith. I want someone to walk away trusting, believing, hallelujah, knowing that our God is a healer. Our God is a provider. And we expect it. We believe God for it. Holy Ghost, we speak the word of faith over Brother Ron right now. We do not ignore his dilemma, Holy Ghost, but we acknowledge the fact that You are able, in the name of Jesus, to touch him right now by Your Spirit, by Your grace, by Your goodness, by Your anointing, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there another young lady that will have faith with her? Hallelujah. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost right here. Right here. Right now. Right now. Oh, it's just like God to usher in great faith. Hallelujah. It's just like God to usher in the anointing when you talk about something that moves Him, something that stirs up the Spirit of God within us. Lord Jesus, will Your way, Your wisdom, Your guidance, Your goodness, Your mercy, Your anointing, Your Spirit, Your power, Your presence, Your goodness, Holy Ghost, right here, right now. Right here, right now.
No place I'd rather be than here in your love.
Yeah.
Here in your love.
Yeah. Yes. 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 By the authority of Jesus' name, be healed. By the authority given to us in the name of Jesus, be healed. By the power, by the dominion, by the grace and by the goodness, by His stripes be healed, by His mercy, by His hope, and by His help be healed. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. My Holy Ghost right now.
Down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control.
Right now, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. There's a faith in here tonight that will wake up backsliders and cause them to pray through beside their bed. There's a faith in here that will reach out to our young people that have fallen away and gone astray, that will wake up Sunday morning and say, I'm ready to get back to Landmark. I need what Landmark has for me. There's a faith in here tonight that will awaken those that are asleep. There's a faith in here tonight that will heal those that are afflicted and those that are sick. There is just faith in here tonight. All the glory to God, and let's lift our hands and ask God to do what needs to be done. Let's ask God to flow the way He needs to flow and touch the way someone needs a touch, to bless the way someone needs a blessing. In the name, 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 in the name. My. Oh, overshadow us, undergird us, surround us and flow through us, saturate us and permeate us, anoint us, appoint us, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Landmark. Mercy. The Holy Ghost broke into the house. God bless you as you're dismissed tonight. Shake someone's hand. Have faith for somebody. Believe God for somebody. Amen.